We are the Forsaken. Forsaken.
You're listening to a Corpse Run Radio minicast.
Hello and welcome. Today I want to talk about the Swamp of Sorrows. The Swamp of Sorrows is a zone that I've referenced to a couple of times over the last few zone episodes I made. It's located to the north of the Blasted Lands, to the south of the Red Ridge Mountains, and to the east of the Deadwing Pass. What, in my opinion, makes it so interesting are quite a few things. For one, it has pretty much the same go-to or get-to mechanic for the Alliance and for the Horde, if you can get to it, as the Badlands, in that you can take a rocket ride. You can, if you are Alliance, fly to Morgan's Vigil and then run around along the southern edge of the zone towards the east, and then up on a little hill-ish thing, you'll find a goblin with a rocket next to it. And you just click on the rocket, mount up, and off you go. There is no quest that you need to accept from the goblin. There is no quest that you need to accept from the hero's call board or from your newly implemented feature in the dungeon journal to be able to take the ride. There is, of course, the hero's call board and the dungeon journal entry quest as a breadcrumb quest that leads you there. But to be able to take the ride on the rocket, no quests are necessary. Just on the contrary to the rocket ride I mentioned when I talked about the Badlands, which is a one-time thing. Once the quest is done, you can't do it anymore. If you go back to the rocket, you can time and time again ride it if you want. There's no limits to that. If you go to ride the rocket, you will end up at the first quest hub, which is located by the first and only neutral flight point in the zone. It's called Bog Paddle. In addition to that, we have the Horde flight point, the only Horde flight point, called Stoneheart. And that is obviously known to most mages, because you have a potential mage portal leading you there. So theoretically you would be able to go there or have a mage send you there, so you don't have to go through several zones to get to Swamp of Sorrows if you don't want to, if it's too complicated or whatever other reason you might have. The Alliance flight points, in addition to Bog Paddle neutral flight point, are Marsh Tide Watch, which is the first one you get to, and towards the end of the zone you will get to Harbor Ridge flight point. So there you have the four flight master points locations that we have to deal with in the zone. The zone houses a five-man dungeon with the name of Temple of Atelhakar, also known as the Sunken Temple, or what's left of it. Let's just put it out there. I hate what Blizzard did to it with the Kadar revamp. I'm absolutely furious, since they pretty much cut away two-thirds of the entire thing and only left the most basic one-floor dungeon. The only good thing with it is that you can still go there if you want to skin, but that's pretty much it. All the fun parts, the labyrinth-style dungeon that it was, is gone, and I really don't like it. It was such an epic experience of going in there back in pre-Kata times, and now it's just, yeah, I don't know what to call it. But anyway, so that dungeon is still there. As for the history, the lore of the zone itself has been referenced to earlier in pre-World of Warcraft times as the Black Morass, which might be a term that a few people that have played back in Burning Crusade times or have been running time walking dungeons. Last time, the first time, we had the Burning Crusade time walking event where we enter the Caverns of Time five-man dungeon by the same name, Black Morass, where Medivh built and opened the portal to Outlands, back then it was still Draenor, and made the invasion of the orcs of the Horde possible by doing so. So this is the location where this took place. Another interesting fact that ties into Draenor is the fact that one of the areas within the zone of the Swamp of Sorrows is inhabited by Draenei, and even was inhabited by Draenei at the beginning of the game in vanilla times, even before the Draenei were introduced as a playable race. And since we know that the Draenei were a last minute addition to the Burning Crusade, apparently the Pandaren were supposed to have been the Alliance race of choice, but then got replaced by the Draenei at, as I said, the last minute. So we have the Draenei inhabit a portion of the Swamp of Sorrows, but then again, not really, because they are not the Draenei that we know as the playable race, the Draenei, but rather they are called the Lost Ones. And if you're familiar with the degradation of the Eredar race, let me just quickly recap it. Originally, back on Argus, we had the Eredar, the people that looked like Valen, what we now know as the Draenei. And then after the attack of the Burning Legion on Draenor and all the fell magic going on, where the orcs turned into fell orcs, became green-skinned and red-skinned, if you take into account the different variations of orcs that we see in the Hellfire Peninsula. A similar kind of devolvement goes on with the Draenei once they are exposed to fell energy, and they are devolving in three stages as well. With the orcs, we have the normal brown skin orcs that we see on Draenor, or if we go back to the Outlands, we'll see them in Nagrand. Those are the normal uncorrupted orcs. If you compare them to the Eredar, or the Draenei as they're called, that's the uncorrupted stage. And then you have the orcs that are green. They have been exposed to fell magic. Maybe they drank the Kool-Aid or have been exposed to some fell influence over a longer period of time. Like for instance, Thrall has, because his parents didn't drink the Kool-Aid themselves, but he is still green because his parents and he himself were exposed to the fell energy from the other orcs that drank the Kool-Aid and from the surroundings most of all, so they turned green. That first stage of orcs, if you compare it to the Draenei corruption, is the broken stage. And that broken stage is most prominently reflected in Akama, one of the NPCs that leads us through the Black Temple, and the Kurenai faction of Zangemarsh and Nagrand on the Alliance side. Those are broken as well. And the Eshtang Deathsworn, the faction that you need to gain rep with in the Black Temple. All the broken NPCs, the quote-unquote followers of Akama, they're broken too. And then we have the final stage of the three that I want to touch on. Those are the Fell Orcs, the Red Orcs, which is a further corruption of the Orc race. Most prominent in the Hellfire Peninsula and the respective dungeons there, as well as the surroundings of the Hellfire Citadel. which is still a thing in Outlands, although not many people notice that the name is still there. The Hellfire Citadel is still named that, even in Outlands. And if you look at the surrounding areas on the Path of Glory and on the slopes towards Thralmar and Honorhold, those are Fell Orcs as well. And that third stage, so to speak, the second degradation, corruption, if we go back to the Draenei, the Eredar, are called the Lost Ones. And those are the Eredar that we see in the Swamp of Sorrows. If you go along the northern borders of the zone between the Harbor Ridge and Bog Petal at an area that is called Fallow Sanctuary. So again, not only the Orcs can be corrupted, but the Draenei can be as well. And they are neutral in the sense that they are hostile to both factions. So that was a little lore lesson there. One more thing I want to touch on before I close shop for today is the Fallen Hero of the Horde. That NPC is located on the border between the Swamp of Sorrows and the Blasted Lands. And he started you on a quest line in pre-Kata World of Warcraft. But after Kata was implemented, they took that quest line away from the Fallen Hero of the Horde and just made him a NPC that stands around there the same way he did before, but non-interactable. His name is Trebor, but the quest line that he gave you hasn't been removed entirely from the game. Now the name of the NPC that gives you that quest, a goblin inside a cave, eludes me at the moment, but it's still possible to do the quest, and it'll take you to the cave eventually through the progression of the zone of the Blasted Lands, since he is and always was the Fallen Hero of the Horde, that is, directed towards the Blasted Lands and the goings on there, because he warns you, or did warn you, about the dangers of the Blasted Lands and to be wary about what you might encounter. The only thing that ties him, as I said earlier, to the Swamp of Sorrows is his location, which is just inside the borders of the Swamp of Sorrows at the entrance to the Blasted Lands. This has been enough for me for this week. If you have any questions, suggestions, or other things, you can tweet me at GrandNegus1, you can write me an email, towerofcommerce@gmail.com, you can write into the show, corpserunradio@gmail.com, or you can come visit me on the Twitch.tv/Pwncast channel every Monday night, 9:30 to 12:30 Pacific time, where I'm doing a little lore roundtable together with Lycan from Pwncast and Sarah Feeder from Dalaran Academy. This has been Grand Negus, Rule of Acquisition number 19. Satisfaction is not guaranteed. Bye, guys.
Hello everyone! It's currently Thursday night as I'm writing this script, so I'm making this story before Blizzard does the whole Q&A thing. That means that some information from the panel might be missing in this video, but I figured that there's so much story to talk about already, and I don't really have the time to work this weekend, that I make this video, and if there's more to talk about, we can always do that in another video. I'm uploading this early, because I'd imagine that you all want this information as fast as possible, so consider this video my Monday lore video. That said, this video is going to focus on the lore and little bits of information regarding characters and storyline for the next expansion, so I won't be going into the new mechanics or the PvP system or all that good stuff. If you want that information, then I'd highly recommend to check out Preach's video, since that's more of his department. Right here, we're gonna talk about the storyline. Also, for those who are like, this is a long video, do you perhaps have a shorter version for me? Check out the storyline described in the novels War of the Ancients and the novel Stormrage. If you combine those, you pretty much have the storyline for the next expansion. Right, everyone, that's enough introduction. Let's dive right into it and begin with the first cinematic that they showed. The cinematic, it shows alternate Gul'dan searching for Illidan. He finds the demon hunter imprisoned within a crystal, he does a little bit of magic, and BAM! Illidan's tattoos reignite. From this, my first feeling was, oh boy, we're going directly into another Legion expansion after just dealing with the Legion, but wait, there's more.
Andranor. Old rivals sought to bring Azeroth to its knees. And while the Iron Tide was quelled, they were but servants of a more ancient foe that has not forgotten our defiance. The vengeance of the Burning Shadow has come. Most desperate hour, we must wield the power of the enemy against them. For we stand once more upon the brink of destruction. Burning Legion has returned.
Raphion's warning during Mr. Pandaria has become a reality. The Legion has returned, and in a beautiful way, the Guardian Khadgar, he brings the news to King Varian Wrynn, similar to how the Guardian Medivh brought the news to King Terranus II during Warcraft 3. So it's not just going to be about the Burning Legion, since in the presentation we also saw the Broken Isles and Demon Hunters that are coming to the game. As I'm sitting here, I find it hard to pick where exactly to begin, what information should we talk about first, so let's just begin at the beginning and see how far we can go. At the end of the last expansion, Warlords of Draenor, Archimon zaps Gul'dan and he claims that they made a pact. From this, I speculated that Gul'dan was sent to the Twisting Nether, but as it turns out, he's actually sent to our Azeroth. Gul'dan owes allegiance to no one save his Burning Legion masters. Andrenor, the power-hungry orc warlock, nearly had his entire race enslaved to the demons. Though his plans failed, Gul'dan survived. Under the Legion's command, he was banished to Azeroth to open a gateway for a monstrous invasion force unlike anything the Horde and Alliance have ever faced. This gateway is created within the Tomb of Sargeras, which starts off the Legion invasion into our reality. The Tomb of Sargeras, it was a tomb used by the Guardian Aegwynn to lock away the Avatar Sargeras after she had defeated him. She sealed it off with magic, which was impossible to remove with magic from Azeroth, but she didn't count on the orcs from Draenor, which is a different planet. Our Gul'dan also found the Tomb of Sargeras. He opened it up in search for more power, but all he found was his own demise. Later, Illidan Stormrage made his way to the tomb to collect the Eye of Ser Garrus and used his powerful artifact to destroy the Lich King. As the Warden Maiev hunted Illidan, he brought down the tomb on her and her soldiers, but Maiev was able to blink out of there while her troops died a horrible death as the tomb crashed upon them. Apparently, Ultimate Gul'dan has relocated the tomb. He opened it up and somehow created a very powerful portal, despite Khadgar trying to stop him. I wonder if this alternate version, as he's going through the tomb of Ser Garrus, encounters the remains of our Gul'dan, or perhaps even the journal that was written in blood explaining how our Gul'dan died. Creepy thoughts, to be honest, but that's it. I haven't really figured out yet why or how Gul'dan ends up in the Vault of the Wardens. That's the location where in the cinematic he finds Illidan is not the tomb of Ser Garrus, so the reason to that is still a mystery. Illidan's description says, after the fall of the Black Temple, the corpse of the Lord of Outland, Illidan Stormrage, disappeared. No one knows the true fate of Illidan's remains, but legend holds that the Warden Maiev Shadowsong, she took his broken body to the Vault of the Wardens so that Illidan's dark, lingering soul could suffer the rest of his eternal sentence. Along with his followers, the feared Illidari, justice to be forever served. Illidan's dark, lingering soul. Does that mean his soul is still trapped within his body all this time? Well, that would blow the speculation of him going to the Twisty Nether out of the water. And it looks like Gul'dan, he gives Illidan some nice fell energies, which reignite his tattoos and most likely bring him back to life. They'll probably have an awkward conversation after waking up, since Illidan, he consumed the powers of our Gul'dan from his skull. He then spent his time on top of the Black Temple, communicating with the skull of Gul'dan. That's going to be an awkward conversation, to be honest. And what team will Illidan play for? My speculation is that he'll start off as a servant or minion of the Legion, but later he'll switch sides and he'll try to do good. People have been asking for Illidan to return for so many years, and even Chris Madsen said that he loves a good redemption story, so that would be my guess. Now, with the return of Illidan, we also get a new hero class, the Demon Hunters. They start at a high level, so you can easily flow into the new content. They didn't specify what level, so we don't know. You first come into our storyline after being awoken in the Vault of the Wardens, very similar to how Illidan has been woken up. The Wardens decide to wake up these Demon Hunters, desperate for their help against the Burning Legion. Now, all these Demon Hunters were placed there by Maiev Shadowsong, which we can read in her description, which says, if the Watchers are infamous among the Night Elves, Maiev Shadowsong is a legend. Famed for her uncanny ability to capture any enemy, Maiev tracked Illidan Stormrage, the Betrayer, all the way to the Black Temple in Outland. After his demise, she imprisoned his surviving followers, the Illidari, vowing never to allow the Fell Touch Demon Hunters to roam free ever again. Last we heard of Maiev was when she tried to kill Malfurion in the novel Stormrage, as they were accepting the Highborn and magic back into Night Elf society. But her brother Jared Shadowsong, he saved Malfurion's life and he scared his sister away. It's uncertain where she currently is, and as much as I would love Maiev to team up with Illidan, I fear with a description like that she's going to be pretty pissed off at releasing all these Demon Hunters. Another cool bit for the Demon Hunter storyline is that they're going to get a starting area similar to the Death Knights, which takes place around 10 years ago. This story is told from Illidan's point of view, the way that I understand it, and, you know, people are assaulting the Black Temple. Illidan decides to send his Illidari on a crucial suicide mission to a completely different world. I think they called this world Mardun. I think that was the way they pronounced it. This is the world that the Titan Ser Garrus, when he was good, he created this planet. And he used it to imprison and capture the demons that he found in the Great Dark Beyond. And when Ser Garrus turned evil, when he found out that the Titan's mission was futile, this is the world that he shattered. Here is the location where he unleashed all those that he banished and he formed the Burning Legion. Demon Hunters get to see and visit this planet, which is just enough reason for me to make a Demon Hunter just to see this planet. They'll do whatever they need to do there, and then we'll move to the present time, where we'll go through the secret halls of the Vault of the Wardens. When all is said and done, we'll learn what it means to be a Demon Hunter and understand the true meaning of sacrifice. Later on, we'll actually go back to the Vault of the Wardens as a dungeon, and there we'll begin our hunt for Illidan. We're going to discover more about Gul'dan's plans, and we're going to face off against some dangerous creatures, since the demon hunters, they were not the only things locked away there. So Gul'dan, he's allowing for a legion invasion the size of which Azeroth has never seen before, and they describe this as apparently it's going to be even bigger than what we faced during the War of the Ancients, and that war, well, it resulted in the world of Kalimdor splitting apart into the different continents that we see today. So that's definitely saying something. They're apparently trying to summon the Dark Titan Sargeras. So it's very similar to the War of the Ancients. Khedgar rings the bell and he summons the troops, to which we track down the source of the invasion at the Broken Shores. We take the fight to Gul'dan and his demonic armies that are there, and after the fight at the tomb, our story will actually really begin. This is just the introduction to the storyline, similar to the assault of the Dark Portal for War of the Draenor, but this one isn't going to end so well. Apparently, we're going to be surprised and we're going to be shocked once the dust settles of it all on the Broken Shores. We'll wake up to a world on fire. We will be able to wield fabled artifacts of those we have lost and those who have lost hope. This is the new artifact system, which they're introducing, in which we go across the world and we're gonna get our hands on some mighty legendary weapons. They were talking about the Ashbringer, the Shards of Frostmourne, Sylvanas her bow, the First Guardian staff, Emperor Xiao Hao's weapon. These are some really important weapons throughout the lore, and it really has some massive potential. I'm really hyped about this because they explained it as in, you're going to follow a journey behind the weapon and you can decide what journey that's going to be. It's going to be for different specs, I believe, and each different spec gets a different weapon with a different storyline. I'm curious what they can come up with. They mentioned as an example a warrior that will go out to find some legendary weapons made out of Deathwing skills. Stuff like that sounds really cool to me. But then they also mentioned the Shards of Frostmourne that are just chilling at the bottom of Icecrown. People have been asking about these shards for ages. They constantly hinted at it and kept it a secret. And now apparently nobody checked the bottom of Icecrown for these shards and they've just been waiting there. It is just an example, of course. They could still change it. You know, anything can happen in between. It was just a little bit of a silly explanation. And next to that, how legendary are these legendary weapons going to be if everybody is running around with them? I remember when they explained why you weren't allowed to transmog legendaries, because that would defeat the purpose of being a legendary. And now apparently there are going to be multiple people running around with multiple Doomhammers, Ashbringers, Shards of Frostmourne. I wonder how that's going to work out, and I wonder which characters will perish and which characters will despair. If the Ashbringer is up for grabs, does that mean that Tyrion bites the dust, or is he giving up? What about Vral and his legendary Doomhammer? We're going to be shocked and surprised. I wonder how that's all going to play out, and I can't wait to see it. As much as the idea of everybody with a legendary, I'm kind of mad about it, the whole potential of the awesome storyline that could go behind it, I'm extremely hyped for it. Like I said, I really wonder how it's going to play out. They also showed a screenshot of Varian, which is apparently part of the introduction cinematic that they're going to make for the expansion. And if we look at Anduin's description, it says, heir to the Vronor Stormwind, Anduin is wise beyond his years. Time and time again, he has used diplomacy to end conflict, inspiring even his warrior father to lay down arms in pursuit of peace. But diplomacy has its limits, and some villains can't be reasoned with. As the Burning Legion threatens to annihilate Azeroth, Anduin will learn the true cost of peace, and whether he's willing to pay it. I'm not sure if I would agree with calling Anduin wise, considering what happened to the Vale in Pandaria. Regardless of that though, it seems like they're finally going to push Anduin a little bit more and give him some more story development. The true cost of peace and whether he's willing to pay it, what that means nobody knows, but what a great expansion to finally put Anduin on the path as he was seen in Velen's vision. Remember Velen's vision from the short story? He saw Anduin leading the army of light against darkness. I'm not a massive fan of Anduin's character, but there's definitely potential. So after the whole Storm the Portal thing, the world is apparently burning, and we go ahead with our adventures on the Broken Isles. The Broken Isles is a land at the heart of Azeroth that's long forgotten. 10,000 years ago, before the Great Sundering, a vast, bustling Night Elf civilization lived here. Now all that's left are the bones of that civilization, a graveyard of sorts, with different areas to explore. Our main mission is to restore peace to a world on the brink of annihilation, and the whole world burning thing, it has the Alliance and Horde wrecked, going at each other's throats, things are not looking good. We, together with members of our class, we need to rise up and unite, scour the broken isles for the pillars of creation. These pillars are Titan relics used to shape the world, and only with these relics can we close the wounds at the heart of Tomb of Sargeras, close the portal, and stop the invasion. One pillar can be found within the Halls of Valor, located within Stormheim. Stormheim is described as an area where we'll uncover the fate of Vrykul that left Northrend thousands of years ago in search of their holy land. We'll discover the Halls of Valor and Helheim, home to two Titan Keepers that have been warring for thousands of years. Two Titan Keepers, and when they mentioned the Vrykul, I immediately made the connection to the lost Titan Keeper Tyr. Tyr, he was part of the Titan Keepers that we met in Ulduar, yet he was missing for some reason, and they never gave an explanation to it. It's possible that he is the Titan Keeper that's fighting in these halls, but it's uncertain who the other Titan Keeper would be. We'll also learn of the origin of the Valkyr and the Gvaldir as we ride the massive Ship of Souls, which I think they called the Naglfar or something like that, and we'll ride it into the Maw of Hell. All the while, we'll be fighting the Vrykul's God King and his minions, who are now part of the Burning Legion. So it's a Heaven and Hell kind of deal, which are apparently going to be two dungeons, with the pillar being located in the Heaven part, called the Halls of Valor. In the clouds above Stormheim, the greatest warriors of the Vrykul are called here. This is their reward for being the greatest. While seeking the pillar, we're contending with the leader of the Vrykul, the God King, who's apparently willingly working for the Legion. We need to prove ourselves worthy so we may claim it instead of their God King, and we'll also learn more about the Valkyr, not Sylvanas or Valkyr. These are the more pure and holy Valkyr, the Warriors of Light. But on the opposite side of Heaven, we have Helheim. This dungeon is going to be similar to the Grimrill Depot, as in you're on a moving vehicle, you're going to go through rough, stormy seas on a ship with cursed spirits. They're being brought to Helheim, these cursed spirits, while they'll live out their cursed afterlife as Gvaldir. That sounds really, really cool in my opinion. Like, I really liked the Grimrill Depot, so to see that happening, it's gonna be awesome. The second pillar, it can be found within Azuna. A beautiful place, but as they describe the Broken Isles with being the bones of an ancient civilization, it's nowhere better represented than in this area. One, something very special, and still special in a different way, ghosts of ancient Night Elves haunt the area, a dying breed of the Blue Dragonflight can be found here, and will be introduced to the Nightfallen. The Nightfallen are exiled royalty from Suramar, left to die out of their protective walls of the city. Here we'll be racing against Queen Azora and her minions for control of the pillar in this zone. For those that have never seen the video before, Queen Azora, she was the queen of the Highborn way back when, during the War of the Ancients. They tried to summon the Titan Sargeras into our world, and they failed. As the Well of Eternity imploded, her palace started flooding with water, and the old gods started whispering to the queen. They offered her a deal, and she would become something greater, she would become something more, and when the time came, she would serve. As she accepted the deal, the old gods turned her and those with her into Naga, and she is still the queen of the Naga. Unfortunately, they haven't really placed a description for Queen Azora on the website, but they did do it for one of her loyal subjects, Tide Mistress Afisa. Queen Azora, former leader of the ancient Night Elves, rules the Naga with supreme authority. Her servants are many, but few can match the fanatical devotion of Afisa. At her queen's command, she is poised to lead a massive Naga army into Azuna, a region rumored to hold a long-lost Titan relic of power. Nothing will stand between Afisa and this prize, not the cursed Night Elf spirits who haunt the land, nor the Horde and Alliance forces that are gathering on the Broken Isle. The dungeon in this area is called Eye of Azora. It's not the name of the expansion, it's actually a name of a dungeon, and I assume that we'll find a pillar inside. I was actually really interested by the whole line of the dying breed of the Blue Dragonflight, but you know, I don't really know what we can expect there. I love me some dragon lore, I like it that they're there, I just wonder how it connects to the overall storyline. The Nightfallen that they described, they are apparently exiled from Suramar for some reason, and Suramar is a city filled with a new race of elves made from an old race of elves. Here they lived for the last 10,000 years, and they flourished by using their magical abilities. Unfortunately, they too have been turned into pawns of the Burning Legion, and they are the ones who have the last relic that we need. So we'll have to go into their city, we'll have to kill every single one of them, plus all the elite Legion guards that are there, and we'll probably even face off against Gul'dan to secure the last relic. We'll get a dungeon here called Suramar City, a city of night, where the Nightborn rule from their palace. The city, it has catacombs beneath the city, and there are noble houses with a whole city that we're going to explore. We're going to uncover the ties to the Legion, we're going to find the ultimate plan that's unfolding here, and then there's the raid called Suramar Palace. 10 bosses are placed in this raid, home of the Nightwell, the center of Suramar's power. In here, we'll face off against the Grand Magistrix. They didn't really give a name. They brokered a dark deal with the Legion, looks over everything, and runs the entire city. They used and corrupted the Titan's Pillar of Creation to shape their society, create their Nightwell, a conduit of dark energy. I'm not sure what exactly this Nightwell is, but it sounds a lot to me like the Well of Eternity, like a pool of power, and apparently they used one of these pillars that we need to create this pool of power. If it's truly similar to the Well of Eternity, then it should be a lot of fun. Last time the land split apart, like I mentioned, should be great fun. We'll begin underground in the raid, because you just can't go through the main gates, that would never work. We'll work our way up, we'll see the royal quarters, until eventually we'll reach the heart of the Nightwell. That's the area where the Grand Magistrix and Gul'dan, that's where they're waiting for us, with Gul'dan being the ultimate boss of the raid, and this time there's no escape. As I go through these storylines and as I go as to what they actually announced, you can tell that it has a lot of ties to the War of the Ancients. So I'd say that they're using the powers of the Well to maybe summon more forces to the Legion, maybe even someone like Sargeras or Kil'jaeden, and we'll have to go in and stop them. It's actually been described that they want to summon the Dark Titan. Perhaps this is the location where they're trying to do it. The final pillar can be found within High Mountain, and this is the highest point of the Broken Isles. The terrain is rough, the biggest and strongest creatures live in this area, which of course means that there is none other than Hemet Nessawary that can be found in this area. It's also home to the High Mountain Torrents, which is a new race of torrents apparently, and they are the keepers of the Relic of Kaskorov. Dargul the Underking, the enemy to these Torrents, he has a description on the website which says the following. For centuries, the Torren and the Drokbar tribes of High Mountain lived in peace. But soon after the Legion's arrival, a Drokbar leader named Dargul the Underking destroyed the unity and stole the Hammer of Kaskorov, a powerful artifact protected by the High Mountain Torren. Using the terrible power of the hammer, the Underking intends to take control of High Mountain. Kaskorov, for those unaware, Kaskorov was a Titan. In fact, he was actually part of the Pantheon, which are the leaders of the Titans. He was the one who blessed the Earth Warden Nelfarion, that most of you know as Deathwing, and he made him the Aspect of Earth. It's no surprise that within High Mountain, we'll actually find Nelfarion's lair, the area where he spent his time listening to the whispers of the Old Gods, slowly going mad, until he finally revealed his madness during the War of the Ancients. He convinced the other aspects to place a portion of their power within the Dragon Soul, which he told them that they would use against the Legion, but he also used it against the Night Elves and his fellow dragons. We're going to visit his lair, seek some answers, the lair that has now become the center of the Drokbar society, a rocky, fierce, brutal warrior race. So that means a lot of fighting, a lot of killing, maybe even Raffion is going to show up, and we're going to recover the pillar from their chieftain. Now of course, there are more zones within the Broken Isles, it's not all about the pillars. We have Valshara, for example. Once this area was a pinnacle of druidism on Azeroth, now it's a forgotten druid refuge. This is the place where so long ago Melfurion Stormrage became the first druid trained by the demigod Cenarius. In this area, we'll face Xavius and his massive satyr army, who's trying to unleash the Emerald Nightmare into the world. We'll meet up with the demigods like Cenarius, we'll see the aspects like Ysera, all of that to help us fight back the Nightmare. If we can't stop the Nightmare, then collecting the pillars and stopping the Legion would be for nothing. We're going into the Emerald Nightmare itself, we're going to dispense some delicious justice, and of course, we're gonna get a couple of big glimpses into the Emerald Dream. This means that those who've requested the Emerald Dream to be part of the game for so very long, you'll finally see your wishes fulfilled. What is the Emerald Dream, you might ask? The Emerald Dream is a realm, sort of say, created by the Titans, and it's described as the blueprint of Azeroth. Basically, it's the world as it would have been without any external influences. Where in the normal world, you'd see, for example, Stormwind. Inside the Emerald Dream, you'll just see the area as it was in the beginning. Maybe it was a grassy area or just a deserted area. You won't see Stormwind Keep, anyway, so it's just like the planet was at the very beginning. The Emerald Nightmare is a corruption of the Emerald Dream created by Xavius with the help of the old god N'Zoth. Xavius' description says, Xavius once terrorized Azeroth with an affliction that almost obliterated the walls between reality and dream. His machinations ended in defeat, but he has been given another chance at vengeance. Now Xavius leads the conquest of Val'Sharar, where the tainted world tree Shaladrassil spreads the Emerald Nightmare's corruption. With an army of vile satyrs at his command, Xavius will stop at nothing to vanquish all who oppose the Burning Legion. So the background for Xavius, he used to be a highborn, loyal to Queen Azara, as he was trying to summon Sargeras into the world, again War of the Ancients. Malfurion prevented the summoning, Xavius' soul was captured by Sargeras, who decided to transform his soul and give him a new purpose. Sent back by Sargeras as the first satyr, Xavius continued on bringing Sargeras into the world, as well as converting more of the highborn into satyrs. Eventually, Malfurion turned Xavius into a tree, and you might wonder, when did they stop him from obliterating the walls between reality and the dream? That storyline was done in the novel Stormrage, where pretty much the exact same thing happened. Xavius and N'Zoth, they tried to corrupt the world, spread the Emerald Nightmare, but they were stopped by Malfurion and their friends. It seems like the same events are going to happen, like they rebooted the story, Xavius is brought back, Malfurion is captured again. It seems like the events of Stormrage are going to happen again, only this time we'll be the ones saving the day. Maybe Fura's gonna show up with the Exobroxa Guard, that would be really cool, but we're gonna be the ones helping out and saving the day. Like I said, even Malfurion is going to be captured again. He's going to be placed within the dungeon called Darkheart Thickets, located within Val'Shara. We'll go in to save Malfurion of the corruption and the clutches of the nightmare. This dungeon is at the base of the world tree, while later on we'll actually start to climb the top of the tree as we go through the raid, simply called the Emerald Nightmare. In this raid, we get the party with Cenarius. We're gonna face off against Xavius himself, we're gonna confront him at the heart of the nightmare, which will end the corruption of the dream once and for all. So it is a little bit of a reboot of the storyline that we've already seen, only this time we're actually going to completely cleanse the nightmare and we're going to solve that problem. It makes me wonder if we'll actually see the old god N'Zoth pop up in the expansion, that would be really cool, but he hasn't been announced or mentioned at all. Another dungeon that you can find in Val'Shara is the Obsidian Fortress of Black Rook Hold. During the War of the Ancients, this ancestral home of Lord Ravencrest was a military fortress, a bulwark against the Legion, but now a dark shadow has fallen over this place. Lord Ravencrest, he was quite a badass in the storyline. He was present during the War of the Ancients, he was leading the Night Elf forces, he recruited Illidan Stormrage into his ranks, but eventually, unfortunately, he lost his life to an assassin as they were fighting against the Legion. Now, if we look at the map, we can see that there are three more locations that I haven't talked about yet. You can see Acheris, I think, which I assume is the Ebonhold. We have Tal Drannuf, but neither one of those actually received any information or explanation. And Tal Drannuf has even been removed from another map picture, so that's been kept in the dark. Now Dalaran is the final location, which means that the floating city is coming with us and its new leader is Khadgar. Last we heard was that Jaina was leading the Kirin Tor and Dalaran, and their explanation, it was very weird. The person on stage said that he couldn't give any details about Jaina except that she was mad or something like that, but if we look at Khadgar's description, it says, though he was unable to stop Gul'dan from opening the Tomb of Sargeras, allowing the Legion to flood into Azeroth once more, Khadgar is determined to find the means to reseal the portal and foil the Legion's invasion. He knows that the combined forces of the greatest champions of Azeroth are necessary to succeed, even as dissenting voices speak against a coalition and risk ultimate destruction by the demons. I wonder if that's the reason why Jaina has left Dalaran. Did they reignite her hatred towards the Horde or the Blood Elves? I would imagine that someone like Khadgar would invite any to stand with him against the Legion. He had no problem working with both the Alliance and Horde during Draenor, and perhaps Jaina was unable to get over it, or perhaps there's a different explanation. Regardless, Dalaran is coming with us, led by Khadgar, and the Violet Hold will be a dungeon once again. As it comes closer and closer to the Tomb of Sargeras, within the Violet Hold, mysteries and secrets will come to the surface. We'll learn more about the origin of Dalaran, the origin of mages, and the origins of the world itself. Origin lore is always brilliant, so call me excited. That's the last dungeon we can talk about, ladies and gentlemen, but there are two more characters described on the websites. First off, Gen Greymane. In recent years, the grizzled ruler of Gilneas has suffered many hardships. His son and his nation fell to the Banshee Queen Sylvanas and her Forsaken, and he nearly lost his humanity to the Worgen Curse. Yet from their tragedies, Gen has found new strength and courage. He is determined to fight tooth and claw against any enemy that threatens the safety of the Alliance. And then second of all, Sylvanas, of course. The Forsaken's ruthless leader is a formidable champion of her people. But with the Burning Legion's invasion, the stakes for the Dark Lady have never been higher. Should Sylvanas perish, her demise will be the beginning of her eternal damnation. All that stand between her and this doom are her Valkyr, yet few of these spirit guardians remain. As her fate etches closer to the abyss, Sylvanas must decide how far she'll go to protect her people, and whether they're more precious to her than her soul. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Finally, some story development between these two characters, and we can only speculate as to how this all will go down. It could very well be that Gilneas is going to be some world PvP area with Alliance and Horde fighting each other over dominance. Last we heard was, as far as I know, at the end of the Rogue Legendary questline, but they kept the whole Gilneas storyline open. You know, as far as I know, it's still contested between Alliance and Horde. And with Sylvanas creeping closer to the edge of the Abyss and the announcement that we'll learn more about the origin of the Valkyr, some really interesting lore could develop. Not to mention that they've again said the Dalaurian Tyrellian are making a return, so who knows what bringing the oldest sister back is going to do. Dalaurian Tyrellian, they've also been a fan request for years, and apparently this expansion is all about pleasing the fans. Last we heard from these two was at the end of the novel Beyond the Dark Portal, where they saved the world of Azeroth by closing the Dark Portal on Draenor's side as the planet of Draenor transformed into Outland. Nobody knows what happened to them after that, not even Khadgar can give an explanation, even though he was there. He can't explain what happened to his friends, and why they weren't part of the Burning Crusade expansion. It's been speculated that these two have been busy fighting the Legion within the Twisted Nether, and now that this massive rift is going to open up within the Tomb of Sargeras, perhaps this is going to be the gateway to come back to Azeroth. I almost fear to believe that they're actually coming back. It's been said so many times now. Let's just cross our fingers, and time will tell. Right, everyone. I think that's about all I can say for the expansion at this moment. I'm sure that a lot of questions and information will pop up over time. My questions right now that I've seen is, what's exactly going to happen to Raphion, Azshara, Velen, Medan perhaps? How will this flow into the next patches? Is the old god N'Zoth, Azshara, Kil'jaeden, or perhaps even Sargeras going to be part of what's coming next? I actually got this one tweeted to me. If Gul'dan raised the Broken Isles from the ocean, how can there be Night Elves which are over 10,000 years old? You know, is the explanation going to be magic? Will Kilrog's vision become a reality of us standing with Khadgar against the Legion? And will Magni Bronzebeard return, since he's part of the Ashbringer description? Hopefully we'll soon find out more. There is going to be a Q&A panel, I think, where they're going to go deeper into the announcement. So who knows what's going to come for information. But for now, I think it's time to call it a night. Yes, I'm definitely sure it's time to call it a night. I've been going straight on after the announcement, so we're gonna work on editing this video and get it up for you guys. I hope you'll enjoy it. Let me know in the comments down below, everybody. Are you hyped for the expansion? I'm personally getting more excited as I dive deeper into all of this information, but I'm still cautious myself and I try not to get overhyped. This is just the first announcement. We haven't seen a beta. We haven't seen any solid information yet, so I'll see it as it comes. But you know, it's kind of fun to see that something on the horizon could really be cool. It's fallen all, but I'm calling it a night, so thank you very much for watching, everyone. Subscribe if you like my videos, and until next time, guys. See ya!